God is still bringing us here week after week in order that we may believe and that we may please him. For without faith, we're told, it is impossible to please God. And God calls us here and he works behind the scene to make these meetings possible so that we please him. And that pleasing is as a result that we believe him. We trust upon him. We trust the word of God. And that is why God is going to keep us with faith. And the wonderful thing about it is, although we've had hundreds upon hundreds of teachings on faith, yet we always find that there is something new to learn. There is always something that we haven't quite seen before that we're now seeing with regard to faith, believing, because it is on that basis we are going to make it in. It is on that basis we make it in as overcomers. It is on that basis that we are preserved and kept from the evil one and so on. And so I cannot stress enough the importance of that continuing to believe. Each day as you wake up, you are challenged to believe for that day. And in that belief, there are the promises which are yes and amen in God that he has given to us that we can stand upon, we can base our life upon. That is how great God's promise, his word to us. And the Lord has wonderfully worked in your life and my life where we're no longer debating the word of God. Well, is that God's word or isn't it? Or is that man's interpretation? Or we're rushing to some dictionary or searching every Hebrew and Greek word always to find out whether it's really the true meaning or not and so forth. You've got professing Christians who are driven by that religious spirit, because they have never settled the word of God. They have never really believed in their heart that God's word is poured out, it's breathed out to man, it's infallible, it's pure, it's holy, it's undefiled. And you've still got them debating, arguing, and so on about the word of God. Well, praise God, he's moved us on from that, because you can start to build upon your faith. Sadly, so many Christians can't build on their faith because they have never settled it. And they go from meeting to meeting, from preacher to preacher, and they hear one interpretation only to hear another and come away utterly confused. Why are they confused? Because this is the title. They have never learned the simplicity in believing. And that is what we're going to look at this morning. The simplicity in believing. The simplicity in believing. And let's base this from Mark 10 verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10 verses 13 to 16. You know this all very well, you do. Then they brought little children to him, that is Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Well, you say to yourself, well, I wouldn't be discouraged if a child went up to Jesus. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, let's open it up and let's find out. The disciples were displeased for a number of reasons, I believe. They probably thought Jesus was far too busy ministering, doing his father's business, to have time for children. And let's face it, children wouldn't understand anyway. And you know, it's so easy that we as believers can adopt that attitude. Well, a child can't really understand what's coming out over the pulpit and so on. Well, praise the Lord, God showed us many years back that these meetings are family meetings. And they're for young, middle-aged, and for the elderly. And to misunderstand the Holy Spirit's ministry, how he works, is really ignorance. It's not really understanding what God is doing in your life and how he's teaching you. Does God make a mistake when he brings all ages into the body of Christ, his body? Of course he doesn't. Does he make a mistake when he brings a little child in of 2, 3, 4, or whatever age? No, he doesn't. And that is what Jesus was trying to bring over to the disciples. He's saying, forbid them not. My Father in heaven has made no mistake in those little children coming up, parents bringing them up. And what's more, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bless them. He again was teaching the disciples lessons to learn. I will take it even a step further. Jesus was showing that God is no respecter of person where faith is concerned. In fact, he was going to show that those children are probably believing better than what you are. Humbling again, isn't it? See, everything that God does, the way he teaches us and shows us, causes us to bow our head in shame. Because blindness does it. And the root that Jesus was trying to get to was the simplicity of simply believing. And that is vital for your faith to mature, to grow. We must always, as disciples of Christ, maintain that simplistic form and way of believing, receiving the word of God as a child. Otherwise, we get in trouble. We also see that the parents probably wanted Jesus to bless those children. And if you're a parent, you appreciate much blessings that will be upon your children. And so again they realized that he was anointed, an anointed prophet, and that they saw that this man would bless their children. And so they responded and brought the children forth that he might touch them, he might lay hands on them and bless them. Again, nothing wrong with that. Again, it shows parents' love for their children, that they want them to have the very best. And again, Jesus is revealing that he will bless not only the young, middle-aged, but elderly as well. So, the Lord is cutting right across this prejudice, cutting right across these phobias, cutting right across the law, Judaism, these religious mindsets. He's cutting right across it. Why is he doing this? Because he's showing that you must have that simple childlike faith to believe. Religion is a curse to people believing, having faith. That is why, sadly, in so many of these churches, denominational churches, they don't believe the promises of God. And trials prove it. They've not been taught, they've not been receiving that deliverance under the word of God to bring them to that place of simply just believing like a child believes. Because that is the principle to receiving this word. And many times, if we're not really in that place of faith that we should be, you probably have to go right back to the simple basics of this. Go right back. Am I actually believing like a child does? Who doesn't question? Who looks to its parents for security, for food, to be fed, to be clothed and so forth. They are not questioning any of those things. They simply believe and know that their parents will provide. And most parents actually do. That is what God is trying to get us to. Jesus also wanted to reveal that children are important to God. He wanted to show that we're utterly dependent upon Him, just like children are to their parents. So they're important to God. And that is why in these meetings, our young people are important to God as much as the middle-aged and elderly. And God does not view and look at anybody differently. That is why I have said for many years as pastor, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all. And that is important. It is important if faith is to flourish, if the fruit of faith is to be seen, our prayers to be answered, and blessings and so on. All of this is vital for faith to flow. You see, we don't realize how much the Holy Spirit prepares a meeting before we come. We just do not realize the preparation that has taken place spiritually in order to bring us into an environment like this so that we can be at peace, we can have praise and worship and so forth, so that the Word of God can be ministered to us. He's brought us into an environment where you're not all the while having to question the Word, question the promises that are taught and brought before you and so forth. He's so worked and He's working with us so that we can be at peace when we come, in harmony and unity, which is all about what body ministry is. And that's what He's working. He's working on that. Why? So that He can plant that seed into your heart, the seed of His Word, that you may stand and be preserved in these last days. And so as He works, and as He works that deliverance, that change, you become more and more as a child in your believing. You no longer come to Him as some clever hotshot, which you did at the beginning. Well, look at my education, Lord. You know, I've got 4 A-levels, so I stand a good chance of really understanding and learning the Word of God. And little do you realize just how blind one is. So God's had to work and undo all of that. All the where education has hindered, made us independent of God. He's been working deliverance on that, you see. To come to that place, to simply just believe those promises that God has made. And as I said at the beginning, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that is why we have the great faith verse that shows us how faith actually works in a sense. As you know, in Hebrews 11 verse 1, I'll just read this to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is. Faith is what? Faith is God's word. It has substance, so it's real, it's actual. It's things that we hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. So because it's actual, it's real, this word that you hold is real, not the cover, the binding, the quality of paper, the ink that's used, but it's in its contents. It's what we read. The revelation of this is real, is actual. That is it. It is the revelation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who opens your eyes, who teaches you these promises that are contained in here. That substance is real. So when you read of God's blessing, of healing, deliverance, salvation, provision, peace to your life, peace, security to your home, keeps you in a job, will give a roof over your head, can just go on and on and on and on. That is real. The revelation of that given to you personally is real. And he says, in substance, spiritually, that is there. It is already there. It's simply the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it yet. But it is all real. It is all there. And a child will not question that. A child will not think, well, will he or won't he? The child will be totally influenced, persuaded that the provisions are there and more. Will not even question it. And that is the faith that God is working in you. You are going to be worked on to such a degree, if you want to stay in with this, where you will be completely persuaded. Completely persuaded. When Jesus walked the earth, and those needs that confronted him day after day, he was completely persuaded by his Father, as his Father moved and moved through him, revealed through him, he was completely persuaded that his Father in heaven would meet all those needs. And indeed, they were met. Persuaded. You say to me, oh yeah, but Jesus heard from his Father. His Father even spoke to him. Well, I don't read anywhere where Jesus, when he came to minister, had a book under his arm. Like we do. Of course not, because he was the Word made flesh. But he could still come with a book under his arm. No. We do. We come to church with a book under our arm. And that is the voice of God that speaks to you. You don't have to rush around for confirmation. You don't have to go to a certain meeting, hopefully that prophet will come and prophesy personally to you a word of God or whatever it is. You have it all here. And those that run around doing this, and this morning you'll have meetings all around the country, and you'll have people going to a certain church for that day, hopefully to try and get a word from God or get a blessing. Failing to see that he's already said it. It's already revealed here. That's not good enough, you see. They still want to look to man to give that word, you see. And God isn't going to do that. And he says, if you've got a simple childlike faith, you certainly won't do that, you see. You'll simply believe your parents what they say. So we believe our Father what he says. And so he says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen that is our problem. And that's where God has to work. Like children, children aren't very good at waiting. As you parents well know. Sometimes you've thought in yourself, I wish I hadn't said it. You know, I haven't stopped. You know, but God doesn't have that problem. He confidently says it, but he says it is there, but manifestly it will come at my timing. And my timing for you is perfect. And I am not always going to give the manifestation when you want it. And he has a reason for that. And we've found very often the delays in God's blessings to you are in order that you might believe more, that he'll work on your faith more. So delays are one of the finest ways, if you remain with it, that God will work with your faith. Because he knows human nature. He knows for that thing that you are believing for, once you've got it, you somehow forget about God then. You forget about all the rest of promises. I've got at long last what I want. You know. And God isn't going to let us do that. Even when he heals us, he's still going to keep us with it. And he's still going to allow us to go through trials where we've got to start to believe for more things, other things. I used to feel, up to a few years ago, I used to feel actually guilty when I would come before the Lord I used to feel before him, and it used to get so bad that one day I had to actually tell him, I had to come out clean with it. I said, Lord, I have a problem here. Every time I come to you, there's always needs. And it's not as though I'm looking for those needs. Life just seems to present needs. Wants. Life just seems to present it. And here I am, it's like I come before you, there's a list, there's this I need, Lord, there's this I've got to believe for, and so forth. And life has just made it like that. And I don't like it. It was like the Lord then spoke into my heart and said, well, have I made any mistake? Your conditions that you're in, these needs that, yes, are there, don't you think I don't know? Haven't I gone before and prepared the way? So you don't need to apologise. I'm using all of that to get to your faith. You will believe more. And that was such a deliverance from me. That's probably a religious mindset there. But I used to really feel as though, you know, here I am again. Problems, needs, you know, more faith needed. And it's not as though I'm asking for it. Life just seems to present it. But God knows, you see. And then when you get back into the Word of God, you see why they're there. Because God knows. And not only that, he says, I'm actually going to keep you in this world. And you'll be passing through. So he keeps us in this world for that very purpose, for that very reason. But in all of that, he's still teaching us relationship. That we don't just come with him, before him, with all our needs, with all our lists. In actual fact, what he's showing us is, as I addressed with the young people, if we really grasp seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto us. And we're going to find we don't always need to have to keep praying, believing. You know, Hebrews 11:1, Mark 11:24, and so forth. And they have their place, don't get me wrong. But simply just seeking the kingdom, all these needs will be added to you. And I think God is going to begin to show us, like Mark 11:24, he's going to show us that there are a lot bigger things you can believe for with that than just your daily needs that just simply comes by seeking the kingdom. And he's doing that. But it's still this simple childlike faith. And so, like with Mark 11:24, wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, do you still apply that? Is that principle that we've learned over the years, do you find that sometimes in situations or when you seek God, do you find that that comes into operation? I hope you do. I hope you don't think that you've outgrown that or you've got tired of it because the last prayer you prayed like that, nothing happened. So I'll just leave that one. No, these are principles and verses that were given to us over the years and are still applicable. Simply because we're maturing and growing up, we don't grow out of verses. No way. If anything, you grow into them as you get older. And so it is applicable. And that principle is still there. And if by the leading of the Spirit, by the revelation of God's Word, what you know is contained in the Word of God, you can, on the authority of God's Word, receive promises that God has given, whether you visibly see it or not. It is there. And you will always know when it's there, because once you've prayed for it and asked for it, you're thanking the Lord for it. I still am thanking the Lord for some promises that I asked of the Lord over 20 years ago. And I've just said, Lord, whatever the feelings, whatever I'm going through, whatever the circumstances, that promise is still as fresh as the day when I asked as it is today. Do you know why it is? Because with that thanking the Lord I have it, I'm also applying praise and worship with it. You see? Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes I just thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for salvation. I thank the Lord for so-and-so who is saved in Jesus' name. And I start to praise and thank him. Sometimes I start to sing before the Lord. Why do I do that? Because I need to hear it. It's part of my faith. You need to hear yourself, faith, confessing and in operation. Did you know that? You need to hear it. And some of you are not letting yourself hear it as you should. And the devil's robbing you. He's robbing you. And probably what's manifesting is that unbelief. You haven't really received. Because if it's there, it's going to come out in one way or another. That's why we make much about positive thinking and confession. You will know whether faith is present because eventually you'll hear it come out of your mouth. That tells us. That's always that spiritual thermometer that I call it. And so we praise and thank the Lord. And so there are major things with regard to Mark 11:24 that you have received from God on. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to let you forget those. He isn't going to let you forget your son that you are believing for. Your aunt that you're believing for. Or that house that you've been believing for. Or whatever it would be. He's not, if you're going to stay with it, the Holy Spirit won't let you forget. But you've got to meet the conditions on it. And so by believing that, receiving that, it is there. And you thank the Lord. And it will come out. It will come out in your prayer. It will come out in praise. Sometimes it will come out in the meeting or when you hear the word of God or you're hearing a teaching like that today. Something within you saying, praise God. You know, 20 years ago, I received that promise and it's there. I thank you, Lord. And I'm just hearing a message this morning that's confirming it again to me. That's how we should be thinking. That's a childlike faith. Simply trusting, not questioning, not arguing. Yes, the delay of manifestation is there, but you've got to then say to yourself, well, God's got a good reason. I don't fully see it yet, but that doesn't matter. It is there. God has promised it to me. He cannot deny. God is not a liar. You know, we have to go back to these basics sometimes. Yes, I know sometimes think, how much longer, Lord? I don't know whether I can hold on any longer. Well, in your next breath, you've just got to say, well, God hasn't made a mistake. And amen to it. So what's feelings got to do? And I'll tell you what, within 5 minutes, those feelings are gone, they've passed. And you think, what was all the fuss about? We heard it this morning in prophecy. The Lord was saying to you, saying to all of us, what's the fuss about? Once you're through it. I know flesh doesn't like it. I know it doesn't. But once you get through, you look back and think, well, what really was all the fuss about? It isn't. It's the enemy. He knows exactly how to work on the flesh. He knows how to work with the flesh with regard to faith and believing these promises, does he not? So we ask according to his will. And you're taught his will week after week. What is his will for you? Every week, there doesn't go in the teaching somewhere where a promise has not been brought out for you, for me, to believe upon. And therefore, we can, on that basis, ask according to his will. You see, our faith is dependent upon the will of God. It's not only dependent upon that will, but obeying that will. You see? Let's turn to 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we begin to learn that there are principles with regard to faith and receiving. Believing in our hearts, obviously, and whatever you ask, here it is. Same principle in Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask, receive of him because we keep his commandments. Ouch. I'm not so sure about that one, if you're honest. Well, that is why sometimes manifestation hasn't appeared yet. Because God's got to work that obedience in you. And how do we know he does that? Because we know he works those things in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. So he's working with you. Somebody once said that faith is obedience, and they've pretty well got it right. Just we don't like the word obedience. We don't like it in our vocabulary, but with God it is important. So if God has made the promise, God has opened your eyes to see it, then he's going to provide for you in order to receive it. And so that provision is, he's working with you because he wants to get obedience out of you. And when you come to that place of obedience, you'll find then your faith is there. Jesus was obedient unto death. You have to be obedient unto death. Death of the self-life, the cross. God wants obedience to that. Now, what is that obedience? Well, that obedience is that you've set your heart, you've settled it, and you're moving toward it. There may be a bit of problems. You might find that, your flesh has wanted to change its mind and everything, but the point is you've settled the walk, you're walking towards the cross just like Jesus did, that death to the self-life daily. Therefore, God can bless in accordance to that. And because we see some of the saints in Scripture where they missed it. They missed it a mile off, but they settled it. Abraham missed it in faith, but he'd settled it. And so God does work through that, and the blessing will finally come. His son in old age came. And it will be the same with you. That's why you walk, you take it day by day. So he says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Faith, believing, is pleasing in his sight. A simple childlike faith is pleasing in his sight. Holding on to the promises that he has given you is pleasing in his sight. That's all part of obedience. Did you know holding on in faith is obedience? Did you know that? Just simply staying with it when it seems to go get worse? That is obedience. You can do no more than be obedient to death. And we'll see those, our brothers and sisters, our forefathers. They will be all up there. And their testimony and blessing was they were obedient even to death. Because it pleased the Father. Yes, to the world it looked foolish. Jesus was obedient to the death of the cross. It looked foolish. But that was pleasing, you see. Pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. There's this idea of being completely influenced. This confidence that the Lord has heard me. Now, in Mark 11:24, the confidence there that you have received, even though you don't see it yet, is the Father has heard you. My Father has heard me. When I believe by faith and I confess my son's deliverance and salvation, my Father has heard me. And I am confident. I am persuaded. And I simply wait and I see one day him making that confession as Jesus, his Saviour. Persuaded. That is what God must do with your faith. You've got to be persuaded, as you will falter. Because when the enemy comes in to try and sift your faith, you will be standing. Oh, it'll get rocky, the storm will be around, but out will still come, I am persuaded. I am influenced that by his stripes I am healed. I am persuaded, I have seen. I've seen it in his word. He has promised it to me. And Satan will not take it, rob it from me. And the storms may bellow for a while. But a man who's double-minded is tossed to and fro, James tells us. And they're the clear signs you ain't in faith. And you've got to be humble to that. You've got to acknowledge that. You've got to come clean with that and go straight back, get the slate clean and start again and settle it this time. Why do you think God allows you to bob up and down, to become seasick? Why do you think he allows that? Because he's trying to tell you, you're not in faith. And I love you, and I don't want you shipwrecked. So let's start again. Isn't that wonderful? You see, even though God rebukes us, which he will, for lack of faith, he'll say, I've rebuked you, right, we're going to start again. That's what he kept saying to Israel. Come, let's agree. Let's come together, let's talk it out, because you ain't in faith. But you would have none of it, Isaiah tells us. That's why God works humility with us, for that very reason. I'm convinced that the teaching on humbling, breaking, is so that he can get our attention to show us that there are areas of faith where we thought we were, we're not. And that we can get a fresh start. And there's nothing like a fresh start in everything. And he's going to do that with faith, because faith is to glorify his name. Faith is to show the world, your family, your unbelieving spouse, whoever it will be, that God is true to his word. You know, our step of faith is all about God's glory. There's a price attached to it. So God is more concerned that you're in faith and this is going to glorify his name than even you are. But it's not just something you quote. It's not just something you rattle off or you recite. It's a working by the Spirit. There are areas of faith that God has to bring you to in order for you to receive. You are not ready yet. And yet we ran off with it all, didn't we? When we began to receive all of this, and you know, it was taught in such a way that if you haven't received it after 6 months, well then it's unbelief. Forgetting that, you know, it took a lifetime. But that's how it is. And I would say to anyone, please don't, in a religious manner, hold on to those promises after 10, 20, 30 years even, if you ain't in faith. What a waste! I couldn't think of anything worse than standing before my father, and I was believing, confessing for 30 years, and God said you weren't in faith. And I was trying to tell you in those meetings, but you would not listen. God forbid. You know, I wouldn't want that, would you? I want to know. It may hurt my pride or whatever it be, but I want to know if I'm not in faith. Please tell me. Because I'll get it right by God's mercy and grace while there's time. Because there's nothing worse than being held in a deception, confessing, trying to say and do all the right things to find that you were not. And God all the time was trying to get your attention. Well, I hold on because Brother Freeman taught it. I hold on because it was in the faith book. We've heard all of that. We've probably even done it ourselves. And God said, I've got to break that. I've got to break that. Because you've not heard from me. That's the point. It's not birthed out relationship. It's not come by you being persuaded that what I promised in here, I am faithful. It's not come that way. Because that's the way it's got to come. It's got to be personally revealed to you. I am preaching corporately to this assembly, but out of this teaching, there must come the personal revelation to your heart from it in the receiving. I can't do that. I can only deliver it. You take it up. But I can't put that in your heart. And don't ever expect any minister. God has never, ever given any minister, even the Apostle Paul, to have that ability, that power, to put seed in a man or woman's heart. Only that's the Holy Spirit's work. And he's sovereign, you see. But I can present it to you. I can lead you to it. And you partake of it. You eat of it. But I would say to anyone, if you're not in faith, or even this message this morning has exposed something that you thought you were, but now you're not so sure, you go and get it right with God. And if need be, start from the beginning again and settle it. Or wait on God. Sometimes you may need to wait. Say, Lord, I believe you've revealed some unbelief in me. I thought I was, but I'm not. I'm not rushing into this. I'm now going to wait on you. and I'm going to believe you will lead me, you will guide me, you will deal with me, and we will come to this place where we will settle it. And when I make that confession in accordance to Mark 11:24, I will know, because it will please you. And I'll tell you what, you'll know a difference. You'll find that there's a rest there you didn't have before. You were in a turmoil before. You were wavering. You know, I've had to go through this, so I'm not giving you something out that I've not had to go back and get right. But what a blessing. And to know that my Father loves me enough to want to get that right. And he's shown me now what is the difference. Sometimes he allows that to show you what isn't faith and what is faith. So you can start to learn the difference. And I tell you, always the difference. Always the main thing with it is that peace. Because my peace I give to you. You see, God's presence is there. And if his presence is there, his peace is there. That's one of the clear signs, as well as the others as well. And of course, Satan will come in, but it's like water on a duck's back. You can say this time, praise God, when I tell him to go, he's gone. Before, I was bawling and shouting, it was like I was talking to a brick wall. Because it wasn't faith. And Satan knew that. It's a great difference. And that's the confidence, that's the persuasion that the Lord wants to work in your heart with regard to those promises. Can he do it? Yes, I believe he can. Why? Because he's God.